Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and his love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit that we want to consider today is the fruit of self-control. Now, when we talk about self-control in this context, we are not talking about legalism. We are not talking about a salvation by works, not repression, not stoicism, not denial, but the very fruit which the Holy Spirit produces in the surrendered soul. Is it the Spirit which controls my life, or is it the self? Now, let's be careful with our answer here. I am a Christian. I have put my life totally under the control of Jesus Christ. I want His Spirit to control my life. But that does not nullify my responsibility. It is neither the one nor the other alone. God has so arranged things that my spirit is to cooperate with His Spirit. My self has got to make choices in harmony with His will. We are given the grace to receive, grace to help, and we are to control ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I spoke perhaps months ago now, I've forgotten just when it was, on the subject of teaching your child self-control. I think that's very important. How are we going to learn to control ourselves when we're adults if our parents have failed to teach us how to control ourselves when we're children? Controlling a child's emotions and will. There's plenty of scripture that requires us to choose to obey. I have made a list for myself of the tests of spiritual reality. It's quite a long list, and I didn't by any means make it an exhaustive list, but I went through some of the New Testament books looking for the ways in which you can tell whether a person's spiritual life is really based on the Spirit of God. Let me just give you a sampling from this list. Have a reputation for gentleness. That's from Philippians 4:4. Don't worry over anything whatever, Philippians 4:13. Be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind. Accept life with humility and patience. Be patient and tolerant. Forgive, love, be thankful. Teach and help one another along the right road with your psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Most of those last few were from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. Scripture requires us to choose to obey. We must choose to forgive, choose to love, choose to be thankful, choose to be faithful, choose to be patient. And at the same time, we must choose to trust in God to help us. We must choose to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. We must choose to put our wills in harmony with the action of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And I think it's important to remember that those two things are brought into close connection right there. We want to walk in the Spirit. We must control ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, as you know, many of the things that you hear on this program are far from original with Elizabeth Elliot. I've often said nothing that's true is new. And one of the sources from which I've learned many things that I know in the spiritual life is C.S. Lewis. Many of you have read his wonderful little book, Screwtape, which is a very imaginative series of letters from the devil to a smaller demon who was just learning how to tempt people. So I want to read what C.S. Lewis has to say on the subject of gluttony. C.S. Lewis says, "What do quantities matter provided we can use a human belly and palate to produce querulousness, impatience, uncharitableness, and self-concern?" Glubos, and this is the name of one of the small demons that the uncle is referring to, has this old woman well in hand. She is a positive terror to hostesses and servants. She is always turning from what has been offered to her to say with a demure little sigh and a smile, "Oh, please, please, all I want is a cup of tea, weak, but not too weak, and the teeniest, weeniest bit of really crisp toast." You see, because what she wants is smaller and less costly than what has been set before her, she never recognizes as gluttony her determination to get what she wants, however troublesome it may be to others. At the very moment of indulging her appetite, she believes that she is practicing temperance. In a crowded restaurant, she gives a little scream at the plate which some overworked waitress has set before her and says, "Oh, that's far, far too much. Take it away and bring me about a quarter of it." If challenged, she would say she was doing this to avoid waste. In reality, she does it because the particular shade of delicacy to which we have enslaved her, we, of course, is the demons talking again, is offended by the sight of more food than she happens to want. The real value of the quiet, unobtrusive work which Glubos has been doing for years on this old woman can be gauged by the way in which her belly now dominates her whole life. The woman is in what may be called the "all I want" state of mind. All she wants is a cup of tea properly made, or an egg properly boiled, or a slice of bread properly toasted. But she never finds any servant or any friend who can do these simple things properly, because her "properly" conceals an insatiable demand for the exact and almost impossible palatal pleasures which she imagines she remembers from the past. Remember, those were demons talking about how to tempt someone. The gluttony of delicacy is as sinful as any other kind of gluttony. The Bible teaches temperance and moderation, not merely in material things like eating and drinking and sleeping and exercise, but a meek and humble and glad acceptance of my position. Capacities, spiritual gifts, these are indications of God's will. Acceptance of my position, my capacities, my spiritual gifts. Do we fuss about not having the abilities and the opportunities given to other people? Am I ambitious for a higher place, greater visibility, superiority, accomplishment? Must we be an exotic passion fruit instead of a plain old apple? Do we want to be an artichoke instead of a string bean? A spiritual giant? A master of prayer instead of a plodding Christian? God looks for the fruit of meekness, moderation, humility, and self-control. I don't know about you, but it is a temptation to me often to try to diagnose my spiritual condition. A writer says, "It sometimes comes into my head to wonder whether I have ever properly confessed my sins, whether God has ever forgiven me my sins, whether I am in a good or bad spiritual state. What progress have I made in prayer or the interior life? When this happens, I say to myself at once, God has chosen to hide all this from me so that I may just blindly abandon myself to his mercy. So I submit myself and I adore his decision. He is the master. May all that he wills be accomplished in me. I want no grace, no merit, no perfection, but that which shall please Him. His will alone is sufficient for me, and that will always be the measure of my desires. His will alone is sufficient for me, and that will always be the measure of my desires. I wonder if I can say that honestly today. Can you? The only growth which really matters occurs without our knowledge. Think of our perfect Savior and Lord. Fix your mind on Him, never on yourself, never on your spiritual state. The more we look at Him, at His perfection, the more He will reveal to us the imperfections, the sins, the great gulf between that perfection and where we are today. But if we continue to look inside, and we will be in despair. Somebody has said, look around and be discouraged. Look inside and be in despair. Look up and be filled with gratitude and peace. God wants to develop in you and me the fruit of self-control. Let's ask God to help us to control our emotions for the sake of other people. If we're in a bad mood, and we let everybody around us know that we're in a bad mood, we're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. We can be cheerful. We can smile, no matter whether we're crying on the inside. The Holy Spirit wants to produce in us that fruit, but He's got to have our cooperation. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.